He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
You'd think that if there was one kind of ideal or way to do things that, you know, over time evolution would have narrowed everything down, we'd all be doing the same thing, right? But no, that's not what we see. We're seeing huge amounts of variation in the way animals look, the way they behave, and the sort of relatedness between those two things. And that's the big, big question that I'm interested in. And mating systems are a really important part of that, because mating behaviour and the chance to reproduce and have offspring is driving, you know, huge amounts of this variation that you see.
Kia ora, nau mai, haere mai, ki te ao hurihanga. Hello and welcome to Our Changing World, ko Clack and Cannon tēnei. That's the voice of Dr. Chrissy Painting, a behavioural ecologist at the University of Waikato who studies diversity in animal mating systems.
You know, these are the kinds of questions that keep me awake at night and make me want to do my job. And it's really just kind of figuring out another part of this puzzle of life on Earth and trying to understand, you know, another little bit of why this particular group of spiders look and behave the way they do.
That's right. Today, we're going to dive into the weird and sometimes extremely violent world of spider sex. I don't know if there should be a content warning for weird and violent spider sex. I guess if you have a strong sense of empathy for male spiders, well, then maybe you want to skip this one. Because I gotta tell you, it sometimes doesn't work out well for them.
I definitely feel sorry for them. It's, I remember someone said to me at a conference, if reincarnation is a thing, don't come back as a male spider. It definitely isn't worth it.
That's Simon Connolly, a PhD student in Chrissy's lab, who's spent a lot of long nights out looking for spiders. I meet Simon and Chrissy in a suburb of Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, at about 9:45 at night, just as the last light is fading from the sky, to go hunting for nursery web spiders.
As it's getting dark, the spiders will be coming out of their sort of little hideaways during the day, looking for some food on an evening, so let's go and find some.
Head torches on, we head down a short path to Hammond Park, a small grassy area sprinkled with trees alongside the Waikato River. I kind of presumed that we would be a while looking before we could spot a spider. I mean, it's dark. I can just about see the outline of trees and bushes, and they're quite small and dark-coloured. But actually, with the help of Chrissy's powerful head torch, it turns out to be pretty easy.
If you look across to that bank of Tradescantia weed, there's little diamond shine all through, which is either raindrops, but given how dry it is, I think it might be some spider eyes.
Yeah, it was a beautiful sunny day. So you think all of that light that's reflecting are probably spider eyes?
I'd say so, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, they really seem to love that particular weed type, and it's often covered with lots of little herbivore insects, you know, that make good prey for them.
And once we get close to the bank of weed, turns out spotting these spiders is actually quite easy.
So there's one down there, just mounted on the end. That's probably some kind of juvenile, maybe a penultimate male based on his size. Sitting on that twig up there, there's a lot much larger, slightly fatter one.
Yep.
That's probably a female, possibly a mature female. She's small for a mature.
Oh, I love this one on the fern.
Yeah, and I was just getting to that one. There's one sitting on a fern right there, which is a very kind of long, thin body type. It's quite likely a mature or penultimate male.
When you say penultimate male, what does that mean?
Right, so spiders have an exoskeleton. They have a hard shell around them, and in order to grow, they need to shed that exoskeleton so that they can increase in size and then rehardened their skeleton. It's like a crab molt out of its shell. So penultimate means that they are one molt away from being adults. When they're penultimate, they start to look like either males or females. When they're juvenile, you can't really tell. You can kind of take a guess as to their size, because the females end up a lot bigger than the males when they're fully mature.
And is that the only difference, is the size that you're looking at? Or is there anything about how they look that's different between male and female?
It might be best if I grab a male or a female, and we'll see if I can show you. So if you look on the front of the spider there, so most people think of spiders as having 8 legs, which is true. So they have 8 legs, but they actually have 10 limbs, which is these little limbs on the front called pedipalps, which on the females and on the juveniles look just kind of like an extra little pair of legs. On the male, they look more like they're more kind of big and bulbous, like he's carrying little boxing gloves around with him. And that's the male genitalia. That's what they use to mate with the female. They kind of have their genitals in their hands, which is very strange, but not if you're a spider, apparently.
Actually, it seems a bit rude that we've gone straight to the genital chat here without a proper introduction to the spiders we're looking at. So I'll let Simon introduce you to Dolomedes minor, commonly referred to as the nursery web spider.
Yeah, a couple of centimetres long in the body, and they've got sort of a brownish pattern to them with some dark and light stripes going down the side and a quite distinctive centre stripe going down the middle of their body. Got this very kind of like streamlined look to them, as though they could dart forward at any moment, which they do a lot because they're very, very fast moving little spiders. It's very cool.
And as well as their shining eyes in the dark, there's another way to figure out if these spiders are about. The reason they got their name.
If you're ever driving around and you see on the sides of the road, or just even just wandering through the bush, and you see these like big balls of webbing on the ends of foliage, those are their nursery webs. The females will make those for their little spiderlings to mature in.
But this Dolomedes minor spider isn't the only one who makes them. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, there are 4 species of Dolomedes spider. Let's meet its cousins, because they are some cool-ass spiders with some cool-ass tricks, and Simon and Chrissy want to get to know them all. First up, the 2 fishing spiders, Dolomedes dandelii and Dolomedes aquaticus.
I did some rough maths at the beginning of my research, and I think if one of them was the size of a human being, it could run at 200 kilometres an hour from a standing start.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's good for these ones hunting on shrubs, but it's really, really good for the dandelii and the aquaticus that hunt on the water, because a little fly or a moth or something will just drop down onto the surface of the water, send out a ripple to the spider that's waiting on the bank. It senses that with its front legs, that it's just kind of got dipped into the water, and then it just runs out across the surface of the water and will grab it.
How neat is that? With hydrophobic hairs and weighing less than a gram, these spiders can walk on water. And they can also dive down underwater to avoid predators, trapping a little bubble of air. Dandelii can be found all over the country. Well, close to rivers. They prefer ones that are covered and forested so they can sit in tree hollows during the day. This has led them to being dubbed the shady fishing spider. Aquaticus live on New Zealand's braided rivers, so lower North Island and most of the South Island. And then there's number 4.
So the 4th species of Dolomedes in New Zealand is actually not found on the mainland at all. It's a Chatham Island species, but it's now restricted to not even main Chatham Island anymore, but only some of the offshore biosecurity protected islands, so pest predator free islands. So its common name is the Rangatira spider, so it's found indeed on Rangatira Island, on Mangere, and then a couple of sort of rock stack islands.
And tell me what's distinctive about this spider.
It's huge. So it's incredibly heavy and plump. So you find them on the big trees that are in some of the sort of remnant forest areas on these offshore islands. Also tend to be associated with all the sort of seabird colonies around there too. And they're huge. So some of the females that I've weighed are over 5 grams heavy, which I think is about the weight of a rifleman.
So now that we've got to know the crew, what kind of things are Simon and Chrissy trying to figure out? Well, first, Simon has been doing a lot of surveying. He'll come to a site like this one in Kirikiriroa and count all the spiders that he sees and also categorise them into juvenile, penultimate, male and female.
The theory is if I do that for as long as I have been, then I get an idea of how the numbers kind of changes and shapes up throughout the years.
But the main part of his work is focused on mating behaviour.
I would come out to places like this and gather up anything that's like nearly adult but not fully adult yet, and then I take them back to the lab and rear them up to adulthood, and then what I have is a bunch of adult spiders that I know haven't mated before. What happens next is the highly scientific process, which involves putting a female spider in a one of the kind of large rectangular systema containers, and I kind of rig those up so that she can crawl up and down the walls and on the ceiling and kind of sit wherever she wants to be. And then I introduce the male, and then I record them for between 5 seconds up to several hours, depending on how long they take.
So I guess the obvious important question is, why is Simon recording spider sex?
One of the main reasons is that we just didn't know anything about these spiders up until now. We know generally that female spiders in some species like to sexually cannibalize, that's eat the male, sometimes either during or after mating. We know that some male spiders in some species are what we call monogynous. They will only be able to mate with one female in their lifetime, sometimes because they get eaten, other times because they actually have breakable genitalia, which they will leave inside the female. And that's to kind of ensure that she won't mate with anyone else down the line. So spiders have this array of strange and interesting behaviours that we didn't really know anything about in these guys up until I started looking at them. So
this strikes right to the heart of those big questions that keep Chrissy Painting awake at night.
Commonly, you would assume that males would be mating with lots of different females, but we do, in fact, though, see the evolution multiple times across multiple different taxa. So it's evolved independently through lots of different animal systems, where we see monogyny evolve, where males are only mating this one time. And it is curious, A, because of this kind of classic sexual selection prediction that males should mate lots of times, but also because it tends to be coupled with these really extreme different behaviours.
Again, the big questions. How does this happen? Why does monogyny evolve? Well, Chrissy reckons that the Dolomedes spider group might help them figure this out.
What's really neat is that within this Dolomedes group, we know from some work that our colleagues have done overseas, we see one end of this really extreme continuum where, so this is a species called Dolomedes tenebrosus, and the males are just a fraction of the size of females. I can't remember the exact ratio now, but it's extreme size difference. And he will mate with her, and then he leaves his genitalia attached, and he literally stops living. His heart stops beating whilst he's attached to the female. So we've got this one end of the extreme here in the continuum, but we also know that on the other end of the continuum, there's our more classic scenario where males will mate with lots of different females in their lifetime. We also know that there's about 100 or more species within the genus. That gives us a really powerful system to try and pull apart what kinds of elements or different parts of the mating system need to be present for monogyny to evolve.
So Simon has done some of the work collecting this info for the nursery web and shady fishing spiders. Studies into the braided rivers fishing spider and the rangatira spider will be next to try fill out the New Zealand set. This will then feed into a wider investigation involving Chrissy's collaborators in the United States and Europe, and hopefully help us understand just a little bit more about life on Earth.
You know, all of us have in common this curiosity, right? And when we go out into the world and we recognise that things look and behave differently. And we might not necessarily thought about that very carefully, but I think that it's inherently interesting to try and figure out what drives variation. And that is the big question for me is, well, you know, this is a group of pretty closely related species that kind of look similar, but they're behaving really differently. And what on earth could be driving that?
Thanks to Dr. Chrissy Painting and PhD student Simon Connolly from the Invertebrate Behavioural Ecology Lab at the University of Waikato. This episode was produced by me, Claire Kincannon, with help from Liz Garten and Ellen Rikers. Sound engineering was by William Saunders. Visit our website at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. Across the years, Our Changing World has told many insect and spider stories, and we've compiled a list of them there. We'll also share these on Twitter and Facebook, where we are at rnzscience. Thanks for listening. I'm Claire Kincannon. Have a great week. Kia pai, bo wiki.